And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Thursday edition NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Pete and Nick back with you, looking ahead to the weekend of week number 2 of the fantasy season. And we got some big storylines, of course, a huge injury to Aaron Ekblad, Nick, but we got a ton of fan questions to get to today. We appreciate everybody reaching out.
Lots to get to, my man. Tell you something, courtesy our new partners over at Skip. Delivered myself a wheel last night. I'm well fed, nice. Ready to go for today's show, bud.
You guys are in good hands with Skip for sure. So Aaron Ekblad out for the foreseeable future, long-term injured reserve. We've seen this before each of the past 2 seasons, right, Nick? It's really unfortunate for a guy that when healthy is a bona fide top 5, top 10 defenseman in fantasy, but he's out of the mix for a while now, maybe even a couple of months. So which way are you turning to? There's Gus Forsling, there's Brandon Montour, there's a whole other cast of characters, of course, in terms of outside replacement options.
Well, I just think first and foremost, you look at the numbers from last season. How do you not go to Gustav Forsling? And all he does in his first game post Ekblad injuries comes out with a point, 5 shots on goal. Like, he was an absolute beast. I just think there's a higher upside from a fantasy point of view for a guy like Forsling than there is for a guy like Brandon Montour. So that's where I would lean. And I think, I was even documenting the numbers in the span of the injury going live and them announcing it. It was like a 15% jump in ownership for Forsling. So good luck trying to get your hands on him now, Pete.
Yeah, definitely. And he has a high shot volume dating back to last season. He's got 15 in his first 4 games and 4 points and plus 4 in the current season so far. So he's been a stud for a while. He was on our deep sleeper list. Couple of these deep sleepers are hitting so far between Arturi Lehkonen and him, and Andre Kuzmenko has been decent for the Canucks. But my question to you, Nick, is like, what's going on with this Canucks team? They're blowing multi-goal games left and right, right? It's really concerning what's going on. They're leaning way too heavily on Thatcher Demko, and it's biting them in the rear end right now. Do you see Vancouver turning this thing around? Because I know you and I were both high on them in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just Canada, but the tension's palpable already, and we're like 7 days, 8 days into this season. It's pretty crazy. Like, I would argue the Montreal Canadiens are the only satisfied Canadian team right now, if you can believe it. Maybe to an extent, the Winnipeg Jets. Having said that, it's early, .. Again, we're going to use that phrase quite a bit over the first couple of weeks, but I think you look at Vancouver, you have to weather this storm as quickly as possible. Yeah, it's been a really, really disappointing start. I think if there was a division that they could make up ground in, it's probably the Pacific. So I'm not going as crazy as others in the mass hysteria about the Vancouver Canucks. I think they're going to find a way to figure this out. And if they don't, there's going to be changes. I'll tell you that.
I mean, definitely there are going to be a lot of teams in the Jacob Chychrun sweepstakes. Yeah. And I know Vancouver is a little tight against the cap, but that defense needs to improve if they're going to make the playoffs. So maybe something to keep an eye on there. Just want to remind people, of course, the Vancouver Canucks top 9 forward group looks excellent. They haven't had issues scoring the puck. It's just a matter of keeping it out of their own net. And Thatcher Demko, in terms of a buy low candidate, I think the window's certainly open. You already see people asking themselves, well, Marc-Andre Fleury, Thatcher Demko. I'd rather buy low on Thatcher Demko than Marc-Andre Fleury for an offense I trust a lot more in Vancouver than Minnesota. And just a guy that's a lot younger, and we haven't maybe seen the ceiling of Thatcher Demko. We've seen flashes of it, but I'm still excited to see Demko be a top 5, top 10 goalie at some point during this season.
In general, memo to fantasy owners, this happens every October. I know people like to go on social media and can't believe it. The sky's falling. My goalie can't make a save. There's always like a short list of guys who can make a save in October. Like, look at even Andre Vasilevsky, Jacob Markstrom, the goalies who will likely be there at the end of the day when it comes to the Vezina conversation. Goaltenders in general, volatile starters to the season. So we're seeing that early on here in October. As for Demko, I do tend to agree with you with a caveat that I think Minnesota, in my opinion at least, is the better team. I still think they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're just a perfect example of a team off to a really, really cold start. But I think you're so bang on when it comes to Demko. There's a bright future, again, and we wondered about this going into this season. Can they keep the puck out of the net defensively, Pete? They're just an absolute train wreck. I know Minnesota is, but they got some vets on that blue line at least.
Yeah, Minnesota's defense, you'd expect to get a little better over the course of the season, at least the course of the first month. If not, then you're really in big trouble. Yeah. So Philadelphia Flyers, since we last talked, they lost a game to the Florida Panthers, second of a back-to-back. But to me, the eye-opener was beating the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road. Carter Hart looks like as good as he has in his NHL career so far, 3-0, 943 save percentage. And at 24 years old, Nick, I mean, do we have to start considering him closer to that upper echelon of 25 and under goalies? I know Jake Oettinger is a lot better.
Yeah.
Spencer Knight maybe has a much higher gear to reach. Jeremy Swayman off to a so-so start to the season, to say the least. But I feel like he's Carter Hart's in that next tier and coming on strong here to make a conversation once again.
Yeah, so-so wouldn't be the word for Swayman, by the way. He's been garbage. But again, that will change over time. You're so right on Hart. Like, and we, I don't want to say we expected this, but John Tortorella, right? He's known for his defense. He always seems to get the best out of his netminding. And so far, I think Philadelphia's attention to detail defensively has been much better. And Carter Hart, to that point, has been really, really good. I know they lose that game in Sunrise against the Panthers on Wednesday night. But for the most part, Philadelphia looks way more structured, Pete, than they have in, say, the last 2 or 3 years. So I think you call that a win. Yeah, it was impressive to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa. But again, it's so early on. But I do think Carter Hart is at that age where he's going to take that next step, a la what like a Hellebuck did back in the day.
I could see it. Again, I don't know that he's going to be top 10, but he could certainly be top 15. And the beauty of the situation for him, if you're still able to pick up Carter Hart, if you took him late in a fantasy draft because of the Tortorella effect, is that he is the clear number one starter. So if Philly's even a half decent team and he's starting 60 games for them, you know, he's going to get close to 30 wins and he might get you like a 9-10, 9-15 at his floor if this is really going to be something that sticks for the rest of the season. Even if Philly falls off and is in the bottom half of the Metro Division, you could see them being stingy defensively and it would carry over for the rest of the season. And then you just talk about the ripple effect of Tortorella in the top 200 rankings, which we updated on NHL.com/fantasy. Five guys from Philly, right? Fueled in Philly is the hashtag. Tony DeAngelo, good start. Carter Hart, Travis Konechny, Ivan Provorov, and Kevin Hayes off to a really nice start, especially on the power play.
Yeah, the only guy I view that has really staying power outside of maybe Konechny, because I sort of expected a bit of a bounce back under John Tortorella, is Tony DeAngelo, just because he's produced everywhere he's played, right? Yeah, I mean, it's never been in question what he can provide offensively. So I'm not shocked in that front. You know, I had him ranked a bit higher than most people out there. I just like the way the guy runs the power play. But from that perspective, I think right now when it comes to Philadelphia, Pete, you hop aboard until you're not there, right? Like, I think you have to pick some of these guys up, ride the hot wave until they stop producing, and then dump them. I think that's the key right now for Philadelphia, because I think it's no secret. They're not going to be a great team, but I think while they're providing the steady fantasy production, you have to be all over them. At least I feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know about all over, but I think that, you know, you pick your spots with them and you see that Konechny and Hayes are working well together on the top line. You see who's on the first power play. JVR is not a bad streamer, because he's always on that PP1 for Philly, even back to the days when they were loaded up front with the man advantage. But, you know, one great team that you're always trying to get a piece of that has an injury issue right now, we already knew Landeskog was out for the Avalanche, right? They dropped the game to the Winnipeg Jets yesterday. That was kind of topsy-turvy. But Landeskog knee surgery out 12 weeks. That's 3 months, approximately. What do you do with him? Because chances are Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen are already rostered at this point.
Yeah, that's a tough go, right? Because predominantly he was drafted in, say, what, the top 70 at the very least. And now you're going to get, what, 3 months, perhaps, hopefully, fingers crossed, out of Gabriel Landeskog. I think if you have the ability to stash him on IR, you do. If not, I think you have to dump him, Pete. Like, you have to rip that Band-Aid right off. I don't think it's a time in the season where you can wait around, because yeah, you can't lose the fantasy season in the first couple of weeks, but if you get so far behind in your standings, if you have that type of settings in your league, then you're going to be in trouble. So I'd probably dump him if I have no ability to put him on IR. How do you play that situation?
for that situation, I think, you know, that's why we recommend in most leagues to have two or three IR spots. It's just the way to go for situations like this. For Ekblad shouldn't be on the waiver wire. You know, somebody's going to be stashing him, and we recommend you doing so, especially even with other guys that are injured, right? Like Max Pacioretty coming back around the halfway point. Like, you got to stash those guys. It's a great strategy, and those guys could be the finishers that put you over the top in the end. Back to Colorado and their top six forward group. So it's Lehkonen, McKinnon, Rantanen, Nichushkin. Those guys are solidified in the top six. But then we saw it start off as Newhook and Rodriguez. Now those guys are on the third line. JT Compher, Martin Kaut. I mean, I don't know if those guys are going to stick, but certainly keep an eye on Evan Rodriguez. I think a guy that had a really nice shot volume last year for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and coming over to the defending champs, I think over time the cream will rise to the crop, and you'll see those guys like Newhook and Rodriguez really chip away and find fantasy value in a big way.
What's your read on the Detroit Red Wings early on? Obviously, Tyler Bertuzzi, 4 to 6 weeks with an upper body injury. Then Jacob Vrana, after a pretty decent start, now in the NHL, NHLPA Player Assistance Program. So the top six looking like this entering their next game: Kubalik, Larkin, Raymond, Zadina, Kopp, Perron. And should mention as well, Elmer Soderblom and Philip Zadina on power play one. A much different look to Detroit early on here, Pete.
Talk about a net front presence, right? With Soderblom in the middle on the first power play. That's a no-brainer. Dominic Kubalik, only 27 years old, a guy I really liked early on in his tenure with the Blackhawks, but then kind of fell out of favor in his second and third seasons. But he's off to a great start, Kubalik, after not getting – right, he didn't get a contract with Chicago. Like, mm-hmm. they just let him go for nothing. And then now he's got 3 points in three games, including two assists. So if he's on the top line with Larkin, a lot of people have been reaching out saying Larkin – has 80, 90 plus point potential if the Red Wings are a playoff team. I could see it. So that association is too good to pass up, especially after the unfortunate news with Jacob Vrana. It seems like Kubalik's going to get good placement here.
You want to get to some fantasy questions, Petey boy?
Yeah, let's do it. I know we got one asking about Jake DeBrusque versus Taylor Hall for the rest of the season. That's a really interesting one. Of course, Taylor Hall, former MVP, but I got a short memory here, right? If Taylor Hall is in danger of falling out of the top six once Brad Marchand comes back, you know Jake DeBrusque, Nick, can play left wing, right wing. He was productive last year, and he's off to a really fast start this year, playing mostly with Patrice Bergeron.
Dude, I got no memory. No thank you. Like, no thanks, Taylor Hall, Jake DeBrusque. I think you look at the numbers in the last year, and I documented them on Twitter the other day at the Golden Muzzy if you want to follow along. Just his trajectory since coming forthright with his trade request last year. He's since rescinded it, but it really feels like Jake DeBrusque has finally found his footing in the NHL and is turning into a perennial top six winger, which they've been looking for, right? How many times has Boston been the brunt of the joke from that draft a couple of years back? And now suddenly, DeBrusque has found his game, and they have a bit of depth that they've been lacking in the last couple of years. So I'm all over Jake DeBrusque. I'm quick to pick him up. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, they're one of those teams out there that has three really good lines. And we've even seen, I've been surprised. Like, I'm not surprised by DeBrusque or surprised by Krejci or even Zacha, but I am surprised some of these names that have been coming out of nowhere, right? Connor Clifton, some of these games playing 23, 24, 25 minutes in different games and scoring. Well, he's had a bunch of assists so far this season. AJ Greer covering some categories. Not too young, but a new kid on the block for the Boston Bruins. And then, between their goaltending, hot start from Linus Ullmark. I know you mentioned Swayman, a little bit underwhelming so far, but regardless, they have the depth to withstand their injuries. And I think some of these guys are worth picking up. Even a Matt Grizzlick, when he comes back from injury, eventually. We've seen him so many times on PP1, right, Nick? There's some good appeal there once he gets back healthy.
Yeah, certainly. And I think the Boston Bruins are so banged up right now. Once they start getting some of these guys back, I think they're going to be in the thick of things, and a really, really good start for them. And credit to the Ottawa Senators for figuring it out in their home opener. Cody writes in, Gabe Vilardi breakout season, Pete. This is outstanding stuff. How long we've been waiting for Gabe Vilardi in fantasy hockey, right? Like, he goes 11th overall in 2017. I think the important sidebar story is that Alex Iafallo, who's off to a really, really good start, got banged up. So it's going to be Grundstrom with Byfield and Vilardi. Vilardi seeing first power play capabilities and responsibilities so far. And I think this is inevitable that a breakout season was coming. I don't want to correlate him just yet to like a Troy Terry, but obviously I think Vilardi's in store for a monster season. Do you see it that way, Pete?
The LA Kings are a really good, even strength team. Their possession metrics were strong last year. This year, their offense seems even more deeper and potent at the top with Fiala, of course. But yeah, Gabe Vilardi, despite mostly third line usage so far, tied for the NHL lead in even strength points with 6, if you can believe it. So it's kind of been where he's been in a logjam his whole career, in and out of the lineup. Now he's getting a shot. You see even guys like Kaliev producing on a bottom six role so far. Those are guys that I think over time will eventually be the top six players of the future, maybe second liners for LA. LA's had some issues on the back end, but at least guys like Roy and some of these guys are healthy, right? Durzi's back. I mean, they got a pretty loaded team. I like the LA Kings to score the puck with regularity all season.
Vilardi, 4 goals, 7 points in his first 5 games of the season. And important to note, too, he was a point-per-game player last year in the American Hockey League. Dominic writes in, what do I do with Vrana? We mentioned him earlier on. There's not much of an update, Pete. And I think, you know, he's been slapped with the IR tag in Yahoo, at least. I think if you have the opportunity to put him on IR, you do. If not, I just think you cut bait at this point, no?
I guess it depends how deep of a league you're in. If you can afford to keep him on your bench, maybe you wait it out. I'm not going to speculate about how long he's going to be out. Yeah. We hope he's back as soon as possible. But of course, you know, Carey Price was in this program, missed, of course, most of last season. And the most important thing is that he gets back on the ice and back healthy whenever, as soon as he can. So yeah, Jacob Vrana, it's unfortunate, but I think it allows the depth we were talking about on the last show, whether it's a Soderblom or a Kubalik or a Philip Zadina, another former high-end pick that has never panned out. You got some quality players around them, right? If you play on the top line, you play with Larkin and Raymond guaranteed. Second line, you play with Kopp and Perron guaranteed. So this is something where either or both could really pop off fantasy-wise, speaking of Zadina and Kubalik.
I would love to see my boy, former Los Angeles King, Matt Luff, get a shot here with Detroit. He was in training camp, didn't make the team. Guy's a sniper. They're looking for snipers right now, Pete. I'll just say that.
Yeah, they certainly are. And one sniper right now that's really coming through in a big way is Oliver Wahlstrom for the New York Islanders. Yeah. If he's out there in your league, I would certainly make every effort to get this guy. He leads the NHL in goals and points per 60 so far this year, still only on the third line mostly for the New York Islanders, but I think that's going to change soon. I know he was scratched the first game of the season because of a minor injury, it sounds like, but he's back full force, scored 2 goals the other day. I know waiver wire James loves him, has for a long time, and I think the whole league is starting to warm up to this guy as being a breakout candidate for the Isles.
Destined for top six is what I have written down on my notes. 3 goals, 1 assist, 1 game-winning goal, 8 shots on goal. The time on ice jumped from 9:44 to 14:15, game 1 to 2. It's massive. And I just think it's inevitable that he plays here in the top six, Pete.
And again, regarding Wahlstrom, you want to see that eventual exposure to either Matthew Barzal or Brock Nelson. Nelson's off to a good start with some of the peripheral categories as well, and was a standout for the Islanders last year. I think that Wahlstrom is super important to getting them back to the playoffs. I don't know that they're going to get back there after missing last year if he doesn't break out. So it's extremely important for sure. And then also look at some other line developments around the league the past week or so. We didn't really touch on it the last show, but 2 other lines in the Metro Division are really heating up in terms of exposure. Ricard Raquel with Crosby and Gensel, and Alexi Lafreniere with Panarin and Trocheck on Broadway.
So Lafreniere, we've been waiting for a while, but we have to get to Raquel. We're on a text chain with waiver wire James. I have Raquel. I drafted him. I'm losing faith, man. Like, they score 6-7 goals a night, and this guy's on a milk carton. I know the statistics and the underlying metrics and all that back up Ricard Raquel, Pete, but I need production on my fantasy roster.
I know. It's like you get excited about Raquel at the trade deadline last year. He comes up flat. Even previous years with Anaheim, we've seen him reach a 30-goal level type thing before with strong hits coverage. But now you're out there with two of the best in the world in Crosby and Gensel. Like, show me a little bit
do
more
something.
Here, right?
Yeah, do but something.
For Lafreniere, I mean, he's really delivered in a big way for the New York Rangers so far, living up to his potential, getting more top six usage like we felt he's deserved for a few years, even dating back to the David Quinn days, but 3 points in the first four games and 15 shots on goal. He's only shooting 6.7% right now, but that's going to improve if he keeps pouring in the shots like this.
Category coverage monster, Alexi Lafreniere, heard it here first on NHL Fantasy on Ice. The Rangers in general, Pete, I can safely say, and again, it's very early, they're the best team in the NHL right now. They have the best goaltender in the world right now, in my opinion, and Shesterkin. Adam Fox is damn fantastic on the back end. They have the depth. I'm really, really feeling the New York Rangers right now. I know it pains you to say that as an Islanders fan, but you got to give some credit sometime, right?
No doubt. I mean, you check that at the door, right? I mean, Panarin's leading the league in scoring with 10 points in four games. Zibanejad not far behind. And then, Fox, Shesterkin, two of the very best at their positions, if not the best. And then, even deeper down, like Vincent Trocheck, I know people have been asking questions like, should I drop Jack Hughes for Vincent Trocheck? Should I drop some other proven center? Kuznetsov got suspended. He's going to miss the next game for Washington. I don't know if I would go that far, but again, Vincent Trocheck is a guy that one season in Florida, I was even looking, he had a 27 power play point season for the Florida Panthers when they were not even that good. They were not the power play juggernaut that they were the past 2 years when they had Huberdeau and Barkov and all this other talent. That was like the early rumblings of the Florida Panthers when Trocheck did that. So what could he do with Panarin? And he is on that first power play as well with Panarin and all the big boys. So big season incoming, bounce back for Vincent Trocheck, like we predicted in the preseason, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I think he's going to be the steal that you projected in the preseason. I just think you look at the attachment to the big boys, especially playing in the top six, being a consistent guy there. I just think it's going to be in Money in the Bank. And again, I'm just really, really impressed with what I've seen early on for the New York Rangers. I know the Stanley Cup playoffs is a different game. Somebody writes in here via Instagram and appreciate all the remarks and questions today. Is Fleury worth a trade or should I just drop him? We're not at that level just yet of dropping Marc-Andre Fleury, are we, Pete?
I don't think so. The only drop conversation involving Fleury that I said I might consider in a fan question was someone was saying, should I drop Fleury for Logan Thompson? And that's one that Logan Thompson, I have high hopes for Vegas as a bounce back team. We've already seen it. I know they blew the game against Calgary the other day, but just the fact that they're in a game like that reminds you that this is going to be one of the big juggernauts in the West this season. They look a heck of a lot better than a team like Vancouver at the fringe. And I think they're going to be closer to those teams like LA, Calgary, Edmonton, which they've been good so far, but they've all shown some concerns in different ways, those top teams in the Pacific. So Vegas is here to stay. I think I would drop Marc-Andre Fleury for Logan Thompson.
I think I'm trading for him, Marc-Andre Fleury. We probably differ in opinion, and maybe we differed going into the season. That's why we feel that way. I'm buying low on Marc-Andre Fleury. Again, it's really, really early. I'm going to have to carve out like a 45-minute piece of tape here in this podcast to give an apology to Logan Thompson in Vegas. I may or may not have sprinkled a bit of futures rookie of the year coin in him last night, Pete. I just think you look across the board at this year's rookie crop. I think it's there for the taking when you're a number one goalie, when you have a pretty decent team in front of you. I'm really, really feeling Logan Thompson. So I got to give you credit for that call.
Well, I had him in my top five for the Calder, but I think Chris Meany had him as his Calder pick. So,
give
credit where it's due to one of our buddies, Chris Meany. But yeah, looking at some of the other early surprises around the league, Shane Gostisbehere jumps out to me. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about him in the past. People forget that he was top 15 in points last year among defensemen. And with Jacob Chychrun injured to start the season and all the trade rumblings, right now, Chychrun's not playing and Ghost is out there on his own producing in a big way with point per game or better. So, and four power play points so far. So maybe the plus minus isn't pretty, but Shane Gostisbehere looks to be as productive as he's ever been right now on the Coyotes. And of course, the Coyotes pulled the upset. Major props to you and Leboff from the betting show. You were all over that, the Action Network collab. Go and check that out as well. What were your thoughts on that from a Coyotes perspective, that big upset? Yeah. And then from the Leafs perspective, what a disaster.
So on Gostisbehere, first and foremost, the cherry on top, one of my favorite phrases, as you know, contract year. He wants to get paid. That's why he's really stepping to the table. He was good last year. Let's give the guy some credit. I still think there's some sell-high appeal to Shane Gostisbehere. You mentioned Chychrun. I think it's going to be a long and winding road until he's finally eventually traded, in my opinion, in my guesstimation, at the deadline. I think they're going to do their best to butter up Chychrun, and if that means playing him on the first power play ahead of Shane Gostisbehere, then so be it. They don't even want to win this year, right? They're going for Connor Bedard. They're going for that first overall pick. So I think if you have the ability to sell high on Shane Gostisbehere, I'm doing it right now. As for that game, it was an absolute disaster, a train wreck for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Simply put, they do this a lot. They do this in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They do it in the regular season. I still think they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. I think they're going to figure it out. I think the advanced numbers show they're going to break out offensively any day now, whether it be against the Dallas Stars on Thursday or maybe on Winnipeg on Saturday. But I think from Arizona's perspective, it was impressive, but not really. I mean, it's not like they mustered the world at Eric Schallgren. They had 18 shots on goal, Pete, and still found a way to win that game. It was kind of ugly.
Right, and guys like Nick Ritchie, Lawson Crouse, those are the guys digging deep and producing something like that. Ritchie's off to a really good start if you're in a deep league looking for some category coverage. I'm big on Lawson Crouse from last year. It was only his first point of the season, but he covers hits like a madman out there and just super underrated. Most fans don't even know who he is playing out there in the desert. So looking at some other fan questions, Nick, related to the Maple Leafs, one guy's asking, free Jesse Mack. It's a guy that reaches out to us all the time. Shout out to him. Pick up Nick Robertson and Forsling for Raymond and Shabbat. I don't like dropping Lucas Raymond or Thomas Shabbat, despite the slow start, but I would try to get Forsling for somebody else, but I'm not buying Nick Robertson. Are you buying on him playing with Nylander and Tavares, trying to be the savior for this Maple Leafs team?
Well, to answer that question, I wouldn't do either right now. I think I would take a wait and see approach, specifically with Nick Robertson, who's expected to make his season debut coming up on Thursday. I think it's a favorable opportunity. He's coming off a really, really good preseason where he notched 8 points. The preseason is not the regular season, as we know. I think there's potential, but wait and see is probably the way I would answer that, because I myself am pondering the same thing. He's going to be on the second power play, so it's not like he's going to have the attachment on the first PP to the big boys either. We'll see 5-on-5 if he can do it, but I'm probably sitting and waiting for now, Pete.
I agree. I think he's worth picking up in a keeper dynasty type league, but other than that, you know, I think his brother Jason Robertson has time and time again proven that he's much better, and we'll see. There's still some runway left for Nick, but it's just a tough situation up there. It's like one or two games go awry and then they bump you out of the lineup in Toronto. There's just so much pressure and flip-flopping going on up there. Which team do you like, Nick, that has a new coach the most? I know we were talking up Tortorella, but there's also Lalonde is off to a really good start. The Red Wings have 12 goals in their first three games, so really impressive there. And then I think also, if you're looking at Jack Adams, Jim Montgomery is not a name that we've mentioned very often, but with all these things working in Boston's favor, maybe getting the band back together completely in a month or so, there's a very high ceiling for the Bruins. And that's a guy that's kind of turning his career around in the right direction from the off-ice stuff. So Jim Montgomery for the Jack Adams. Don't forget about that one.
They don't skip a beat. Like, we buried Boston literally like 2 weeks ago saying they were garbage. They're going to miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. And now we're on the Boston Bruins. So, yeah, I'm feeling that. I would throw Bruce Cassidy in that conversation as well. I think he's proving once again why he is one of the better coaches in the NHL. I know it's early on here with the Vegas Golden Knights. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week, Pete, is the burning question for me. It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you got, Pete?
I'm going to go with one of those LA Kings, Adrian Kempe, right? We talk so much about the impact of Kevin Fiala coming over in the offseason. Anze Kopitar is as good of a center as there is out there. Those guys have been productive thanks largely to Adrian Kempe carrying over his 35-goal season from last year. He leads the NHL with 4 even-strength goals right now. He's not even tied with anybody. So to this point in the season, if you looked at Kempe as a bargain in the offseason and you picked him up in later rounds, he's delivering like a top 100 overall player right now. So Kempe earning that respect over each passing day. And I really like him with staying power on that Kings top line.
My guy's not only delivering your food, but he's eating half of it on the way there. Valeri Nichushkin with the Colorado Avalanche. The guy's an absolute stud, man. Far removed from his goalless season, dual eligible. He scored in all 4 Avalanche games so far. 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points, 15 shots on goal. So Val Nichushkin, you're delivering big time for me. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL.
And also a nod to some of our fans out there who reached out with their delivery of the week. The cool thing about delivery of the week, right, Nick, it could be a big name like Steven Stamkos, Mika Zibanejad, Rasmus Dahlin is a top 15 defenseman, bar none, based on his production so far. And then, of course, you can get to the lower end of the totem pole where sometimes it's even more valuable when you have a Jake DeBrusk producing for you or a Troy Terry replicating what he did so far last season, even playing for a pretty bad team in Anaheim right now. I mean, those are some of the names that the fans are tossing out. And it's amazing to see Stamkos really playing at this level. It's almost like he's turned into a better player than he was earlier in his career when he was a 60-goal scorer.
What are your thoughts on victory lapping 1 week into a fantasy season? Because that's what our boy Johnny Lazarus did on social, on Twitter the other day when he victory lapped his Steven Stamkos selection in our YouTube draft. I just think it's big pimping for a week into the fantasy season. We know Stamkos is an excellent player. And Johnny, we know you're listening. We love you. But I think it's just way, way too early, Pete, to be victory lapping. But yeah, that's the great thing about this delivery of the week. It could be anybody. It can be a third string goalie for all we know.
No, it's true. And we'll have Johnny Laz on the show at some point. I know his picks have been hot for Action Network. Oh, yeah. And remember, check out the show from earlier in the week, the NHL Action Network collaboration with Nick and Michael Leboff. And looking forward to that show the upcoming week for sure. And then the Waiver Wire pickups episode as well. We expand on some of the stuff we talked about today for week 2. To round out week 2, what's catching your eye, Nick? I know it'll be David Quinn's return to the Rangers with the Sharks. That has not been pretty so far in San Jose. So maybe look for a Vincent Trocheck. I know we have him on the power play point prop. He's got 2 already. And I really like that play moving forward with all that exposure. Rangers power play is 5th in the NHL right now at 5-for-15.
All I'll say, Pete, is I've been going dog hunting. It's been bizarre times throughout this week. Buffalo won in Edmonton, Arizona won in Toronto, Colorado loses to the Winnipeg Jets. Don't underestimate the power of the underdog right now. In addition to that, I'm looking forward to Carolina's roll through Alberta. I think along the lines of the New York Rangers being one of the best teams in the league, Carolina's certainly in that conversation. They've had a really, really solid start. And I want to see how they fare against 2 teams we think could be bona fide contenders in the Western Conference at Edmonton and Calgary, respectively, here, Pete.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Battle of Florida 3.0, I guess you could say, since the Panthers really became an elite team. So you got Lightning at Panthers on Friday, October 21st, ESPN Plus. That's going to be a fun game to watch, no doubt. And then looking ahead to the weekend, Maple Leafs Jets. You mentioned some of those Canadian teams. Big victory for the Winnipeg Jets on the road in Colorado against the defending champs. There's going to be a lot of pressure mounting on Toronto. This is an opportunity for Winnipeg to continue to boost their bounce back appeal and add to the Maple Leafs woes on home ice on Saturday.
I know you've been watching my stuff on the Nation Network, Leafs Morning Take. I was all over the Winnipeg Jets on Wednesday. And yeah, they got the job done against the Colorado Avalanche. Underdog. You're right. I think early on, the Leafs have to get cooking here, I think, in a major way. And I would lean towards the offense in that game. I'm looking forward to Saturday night. I think there's going to be a lot of goals between Winnipeg and Toronto there.
One question I wanted to touch on. So I think we anticipated Jack Quinn would be the more productive rookie in Buffalo so far. Yeah. Peterka looks great, even though he's on the third line. He has a point in each of his first three games. That is a real NHL victory for Buffalo on the road in Edmonton the other night. They capped it off with the Tuck empty netter. I'm sure all those Tuck fans were happy, but regardless, I think that Buffalo is working something special here. And we got a fan question. Should I cut the cord on Jack Quinn? I would still hang on. Yeah. There are a couple of rookies out there, Nick, that are quiet so far. But Quinn is one of the guys that I would hold on to. Maybe I would cut the cord on Rossi or Holloway or Alexander Holtz or even Slafkovsky. But hang on tight with guys like Jack Quinn and Cole Perfetti. I think those guys will really improve over the course of the season.
I think that's a perfect example to wrap here. Cole Perfetti was a guy I was like, oh, he no shots on goal through the first two games. What do I do? And then he comes out. That Wheeler line was outstanding against the Colorado Avalanche. So, yeah, I would view it the same way. I think some of these guys, you take the wait-and-see approach. It's early on in the season. Do not forget that, Pete Jensen.
So week three just around the corner, right? Go back and check out all the episodes. Also check out the other podcast, The Chirp, At the Rink, of course. So we'll talk to you again next week. For Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you on the other side.